Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
This morning, as we assemble together, I want to talk to each and every one of us about faith. As we think with reference to faith from a biblical context, it comes from the Greek word pistuo. Literally, it is defined usually to believe or a belief. And when we think with reference to believe, we think about, well, what is it that God wants us to believe? The Bible identifies for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that those who come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So therefore, God expects you and me to have a belief in Him, to have an understanding that there is a God in heaven, but also that as we understand that there is a God in heaven, is that we're willing to acknowledge, not only to ourselves, but that we're willing to confess that there is a God in heaven to our fellow man. It's interesting, though, as you consider that word pistuo, or belief, in the context of the New Testament Scripture, not only is it used as a noun, but from time to time we understand that it is used as a verb. And therefore, what God identifies in this giving of the word pistuo is that we can not only believe in Him, but if we want to be pleasing to Him, we must have a faith in action. And you and I know, as we read and study from the New Testament Scripture, is that God shows us that when we believe in Him, whenever we know that there is a God in heaven, we come to love Him, is that we express our love by confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, and we demonstrate our commitment to God, our belief in God, by submitting to Christ in baptism, wherein that the Bible identifies to us that our sins are washed away, and we are added by the Lord at that very instant and to His glorious kingdom. What a blessing it is! And it all centers in and around our faith. Now, as we begin our lesson this morning, I want to say that this lesson will not make much sense to unbelievers. The Bible identifies is that there would be, in fact, there always has been, at least almost from the very beginning of time, individuals who chose not to believe in God. In the book of Psalm 14 and verse 1, God says, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." You see, with atheists and agnostics, the idea that there is a God, it is not in their heart. In fact, the Bible identifies concerning these individuals that their understanding is in darkness. In other words, they do not understand not only that there is a God, they do not understand these things, but they also have a misunderstanding with reference to God's Word, the Scripture. And the Bible says is that their understanding is darkness due to the blindness of their hearts. You see, with these individuals, they stumble over the light because God is not a part of the equation as they would see life or their existence here in this world. And therefore, this morning, as we assemble together to worship and to praise our God, as we study from His holy and inspired Word, as we unite together and lift our song, our voices up in praise of songs to God, the unbeliever, it doesn't make any sense at all to these individuals. A lesson on faith does not resonate with these people, admittedly. Heaven cannot be proven by the five senses that we find in life. The five senses is sight, is hearing, smell, taste, and touch. Now, I want to say, though, that one of the five senses, by all means, we need to understand that we can see, not God Himself, but we can see the effects of God, correct? But whenever it comes to the senses that we would turn to from a world standpoint, that mankind has developed and said, well, these things help to identify certain things in life. We can't turn to those things within themselves, and identify that there is a God in heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us as Christians that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And you and I know that when we look into the Bible is that we're not walking in blind faith, but rather we're walking based upon what the Bible teaches us. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But not only do we find God in the Scripture, and we are able to develop faith out of what we find in the Scripture, but God also then calls us to look out into the world, out into the creation, and to know that there is indeed a God in heaven. Not only do we find is that the atheists and agnostics would have problems with the lesson this morning, worldly people also have a hard time seeing our faith. Why is that? I pondered this question last night as I was going over and developing ideas for what to say in this lesson. And why do people of the world have a hard time grasping why it is that you and I believe in God and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? I concluded in my consideration of these matters is that for a large part, they are too busy with life. They're so caught up in the things that this world has to offer. They allow their lives to be centered in and around the here and now, around their work or around going to school and around their family. And all these things, by all means, are important. In fact, the Bible defines that for us. But yet at the same time, you and I know as Christians that our life is to be centered in and around God. And then the rest of these things take their place with God in it. But for those who are in the world, their life is too busy, and therefore God and the plan that God has for mankind seems crazy to them. And I'll be the first to say in this new year maybe, is that that idea seems crazy to me. Why people would center their life around this world where that is very clear, not only from a biblical standpoint, but even from a scientific standpoint, is that the world is winding down. It's not always going to be here. Not only do these individuals, these people, not believe themselves, not only do we find is that they don't give God the time of day, but then they also challenge our faith. They seek to belittle us from time to time. And whenever it comes to our devotion to God, our faith and our desire to stand faithful to God, they mock our steadfastness. And then they laugh at us in regard to our devotion to worship our God. And admittedly, too, as we go on in life as Christians, these things can present to be a challenge to us. They can be a challenge to our faith. And many times they will even say to us, "Why do you even keep on believing?" We go through not only the challenges that the world lays upon us, but we also go through everything that the world goes through, all of the various trials and temptations and disappointments in life. And the devil wants to get into our minds and to say, "Why do you keep believing in God?" And you know, we turn to the Scripture for our answer. God uses the Hebrews writer to explain what belief is really and truly all about. This morning, I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. We're going to draw some points from the context there and apply them. And what we learn with reference to these Hebrew Christians, many scholars contend that they had been members of the Lord's church for about 20 to 30 years. A lot of times they'll say for about 25 years. And therefore, these people should have been rooted and grounded in our God. But we know, at least in part, there were some of them who needed to be taught the first principles all over again. They should have been teachers, the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through verse 14. But now, they needed for someone to come in and to teach them the very fundamental principles of what it means to be a child of God. In all, these people were spiritually minded. These people were individuals, those who were committed to the Lord. they weren't going to allow anything or anyone to stand between them and their relationship with God. And as the Hebrews writer picks up in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, he's identifying that the just, and the word just here means those who are justified. And to be justified would be to those who are right with God. The word justification, or to be just in a righteous way before God, has been defined from time to time. And I believe that it's accurate with regard to what God would define in Scripture, is that it is to be just as if you had not sinned. And that's where we come to with God as we put Christ on in baptism. God now looks at us just as if we had not sinned. We are pure in His sight. We are holy in His sight. And hence we are involved in a relationship with our God. And He says in this context that those of the Hebrew saints who are right with God, He says they are to live by faith. They will be able to be faithful based out of their faith. And what do we learn as we go on into this context? These people remain faithful to God in spite of the terrible trials that they went through in their lives. In fact, you will read from the context is that these people endured great struggling with sufferings. And the Greek word here for endured means is that they remained. It means that they continued firmly in their relationship with God. And the word struggle in the context of the Greek language means is that they faced a combat and they were dealing with conflict. And part of this combat came from outside, where the people in the world were challenging them and their faith. But also, there was this constant conflict going on even within, with those weak Christians, with those who were hypocritical in their way of life. And all of these things were factoring in as to how these people were going to look at God and whether or not they were going to be able to walk worthy of the calling that God had called them in. And the Hebrews writer is saying, the just shall live by faith. Also, though, we learn a little bit about what it is that they had been going through. They were subject to public ridicule and persecution. In the Greek language here, a word is presented that is therizo. And that word therizo literally is interpreted to mean to be exposed as in a theater. And I got to thinking about that last night. Usually whenever we watch a movie, we watch it on our television at home. And we've got a 50-inch television at home, and that's pretty good size. But I really like to go from time to time to the theater, because that's on what we call the big screen. And you can't miss anything on the big screen, correct? It's huge, it's massive. And it just makes you feel as if you're right there amidst what's going on. Well, here, these individuals, with regard to the suffering that they're facing, it has been exposed as if it is on the big screen. And it deals also with a point where that they had been subject to scorn and looked upon with disdain. These people, by the way in which they had been treated, they were mocked, they were ridiculed, they were talked down on. Why? Because of their belief in God. Because of the fact that they were members of the church. They were New Testament Christians. And they're mockers. Their enemies were out to destroy them. They knew that if they could get to their faith, then that they would be able to accomplish everything that they had set out to do. And friends, what do we see these Christians doing? Note the context of verse 33 and verse 34. They helped others who had suffered in the same way. And I want to draw your attention also to what the writer himself says. He not only identifies that they had been helpers to others, encouragers to those who have suffered as they are suffering, but he also throws himself in that midst. The writer had been a recipient of the goodwill of these people. And he is praising them for what it is that they've done for others and what it is that he himself has received from these people. And as we look to these people and everything that they've gone through with regard to their commitment to God and their faith and faithfulness, what is it that has held them where they are? You see, contextually, they've lost everything. But they accepted it with great joy. Their faith led them unto faithfulness before God. Their faith kept them moving forward and not turning back to be lost in the sight of God. They understood full well of what God had prepared for His people. And today I take the lesson and I seek to apply it to us and to ask, why do we do it? We conduct our lives different than everyone else in the world. The standards by which we live do not line up with what we find in the world. We don't think like the world thinks, correct? And based out of the way that we think, then we do not live like the rest of the world lives. We don't engage in foul conversation. If we do, we're hypocritical. And as Christians, as those who read and study the Bible, we would have to conclude that. Not only do we not talk like the rest of the world speaks, then in like figure we don't act like the rest of the world acts. We don't go into dark places. It's just not a part of our life. Our standards of living are much different than the standards that we find in the world. And why is that? It's because of our faith. It's because of what we know to be true from the Bible. It's because of the fact that we're convinced that there is indeed a God in heaven. You see, God lives. And as Christians, in our belief, we know and understand this. But also we realize that God is a creator and that He is responsible for the creation of everything good that we have in this world and also for our lives. But also we understand with reference to God is that He has always existed and He will always exist, and He exists outside of the physical world. He's aware of what takes place here in this world, but His existence, His abode is in heaven. And friends, for this reason then, we turn to the Bible. And we know 100% that the Bible is from God. And therefore we keep on believing. And as Christians then, as we look to death, we see death itself different than the rest of the world sees death. To the world, we even mourn whenever we lose a loved one. But the world mourns without end because they do not see any hope beyond the grave. But as Christians, we know that there is hope beyond the grave. The Bible very clearly identifies to us is that Jesus Christ is coming again. And whenever the Lord appears in the sky, the Scripture tells us that all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good into the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil into the resurrection of condemnation. You see, God identifies to us is that while the physical part of us dies and returns to the ground from which it came, the soul lives on. In fact, the soul departs from the body. Luke 16, verses 19 and following. At the point, immediately at death. And enters into the Hadean realm. For the Christian, that is paradise. For the lost, it is the place of torment. For Christians, we know that in death, it signifies a hope with anticipation that we have for the return of Christ that will offer us a rest for our soul. Why do we keep on believing? Friends, it's because we look for the heavenly and eternal reward. Amen? That's what our faith is wrapped around. We believe in God because of all the evidence, internal and external, that we have of Him. And based then out of everything that we see, now we have faith. Based out of everything that we understand, we continue in our faith, knowing that someday, with 100% assurance, that if we live our lives committed to God, is that God will keep His commitment that He's made to each and every one of us, that someday we will be able to dwell with Him in eternity in heaven. What a blessing it is, faith, to believe in God and to live a life committed to God so that someday we will be able to be with our God in heaven in the end. This morning, do you have faith? Do you believe that there is a God in heaven? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son? That He sent Jesus into the world to die for the sins of mankind? But not only do we want you to believe in God, have you confessed that faith? Have you confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? But also in that confession, have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, why not make that commitment today? If we have erring brothers and sisters here, we want you to know also that we love you. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we also call you with the Lord's call. And we will pray with you and for you that you might be forgiven and restored. And we will receive each one with open arms.